Tableau 19.2. Pay the price. Setting. Four people crowded into a soda shop in the summer of 1961. All are white except one. The white counter attendant, arms folded, is refusing to serve the black teen, who is sitting on a stool at the counter. Two of the white people are making threatening gestures toward the lone black teen. A policeman has just entered the edge of the scene, armed with a billy club. His eyes are on the young black man who is sitting at the counter. Password 3. This is a tale of two young men, Robert and Joseph. They both are on honor roll at their respective local trade schools. They both play football, basketball, and run track. They both come from respected Christian families who work in their community and do good deeds helping their neighbors. They both were homecoming king last fall. They know each other from articles in the local newspaper tracing their accomplishments. They both have promising futures until now. You see, there is one major difference between Robert and Joseph. Robert is black, and it is he who is featured in this scene. Because of his race, he is in a heap of trouble. It is July 31st, 1961. Robert heard about the events last year in Greensboro, North Carolina, where four black men went into a Woolworth's lunch counter to get a soda. Store policy forbade black people from being served. This lunch counter is for whites only, and you must leave, said the manager. A policeman was summoned and arrested the four because they refused to move and dragged them to jail. Fortunately, the manager didn't press charges because he wasn't willing to make a scene. Those four black students intended to be arrested in order to challenge the law, but with charges dropped and the court challenge did not happen. Soon, sit-ins were taking place in many towns and cities, taking hope from the Greensboro Four, the title they have been memorialized as. Robert has taken it upon himself to challenge the same law here in his hometown, but he wonders if he went too far. Maybe he should have come with others or attended one of the organized sit-ins planned by the SNCC. He feels intimidated, frightened, worried about how far the threats will go. Until 3 weeks ago, Robert listened to Dr. King's speeches. Dr. King is a respected preacher, and his message of peaceful passive resistance made sense to Robert at the start. But as of late, he has noticed that King's methods don't seem to be changing anything for the better. Time after time, protests and peaceful sit-ins have failed. At Atlanta and Albany, King had been jailed with no redress of grievances. Then presidential candidate John F. Kennedy paid lip service to the cause, but no more. Are the Republicans any better? Vice President Richard Nixon supported equal civil rights, but he lost the election. So far, the new Democratic president has made no moves to change any laws in the South. Robert wonders, how much longer will we have to wait? Are all Democrats in cahoots? One thing's for sure, no Southern Democrat will come to the aid of a black man. Password A. This summer, others from Robert's trade school have traveled to Alabama to join the Freedom Rides to desegregate the bus lines. He has heard about the troubles they have endured, smoke and tear gas, police and police dogs threatening, bus stations with doors locked. Maybe he had made the right choice not going along with his friends. He had not been able to afford the fare anyways. His father had sacrificed much to send him to trade school, and the money for the trip just wasn't there, so he stayed home. Down deep, Robert wanted to participate in the struggle. He wanted to show determination and steadfastness. That is why he is sitting here, in this cafe, threatening, facing the threats, insults, and rage of strangers. He looks at his own hands, visibly shaking. He thinks, I'm no different than Joseph, except for the color of my skin. He would not have to face this fear. He would have been peacefully served. I need to avoid showing my fear. Be calm. I will earn respect and stand up for what's right. He glances at the root beer float just out of his reach. He glimpses the smug, grim, and piercing eyes of the counter attendant who has refused to serve him. He endures the rage of the surrounding crowds as they hurl repeated insults. A policeman has just come in the door. His billy club is ready. Robert wonders if he'll feel the pain of that wooden pole across the back of his neck at any moment. In all the commotion, Robert just sits there calmly, waiting for eternity to come. Ready to face his fate as Christ had endured the suffering and humiliation. He sadly thinks to himself, I'm not hurting anyone. I'm not infringing on anyone's rights. All I want is a chance to do what white people take for granted, but for me is forbidden. Society needs to change. Robert's eyes begin to water. A single lone tear inches its way down his left cheek. He thinks, can I pay the price?